Let's open your Bibles, if you would, tonight and turn to Colossians chapter 4 with me. We're going to begin in verse 7. We'll read down to about verse 13. First, you've got to get the spectacles out here. Verse 7, Colossians chapter 4. As to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant, Lord, will bring you information. For I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances, and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of your number, they will inform you about the whole situation here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, sends you his greetings, and also Barnabas' cousin Mark, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And also Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are from the circumcision, and they have proved to be an encouragement to me. Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bondslave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a deep concern for you and for those who are in Laodicea, Hierapolis. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you again for your word preserved. I'm grateful that you help us to understand that the gospel goes forth not by the work of one person who stands in the limelight, by the many who aren't in the limelight that support the work and do what needs to be done to bring the church to maturity and to spread the gospel into the world. Father, I'm thankful for the message I get to bring tonight that talks about those that are important to the support of the gospel, and that's every individual in your church. Father, I pray this message will encourage all tonight, and that in it, you will be glorified as you help us all to understand the tremendous value you have placed upon each of us individually and the important role, the instrumental role that we play in bringing about the completion of your plan. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of being before your people. Pray that I would speak the words tonight again that would equip the saints, encourage them, help them to understand who you've made them to be, so that we can execute our purpose to your glory. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Some time ago, I did a message on Tychicus. I think it's been 3-4 years ago maybe by now. Time flies, I'm not sure. And when I did that message, I had told you guys that at some point I was going to, well, actually I was hoping to do it right after that. I was going to do a message on what I call the Lord's second fiddlers. And that's all the people that are mentioned. Primarily, we're going to look at 6 or 7 of them in our text tonight. Quickly, try to, that are mentioned. But if you look at Paul's writings, there are well over 100 individuals that Paul mentions by name that make the gospel go out. 100 people or more. In the book of Romans, I know Luke mentioned this to me. We were talking about some things a few days ago and talking about all the people that Paul mentioned in Romans chapter 16 that were part of his ministry and to help the ministry to get done in the church in Rome. Over 20 people, I don't know the exact number, 25, 30, somewhere near. There's about 9 or 10 here in our little section, but you go through and look at all those letters and see all the people that the Apostle Paul points out are critical to the progress of the gospel, to the building up of the body of Jesus Christ. So many of you don't have the opportunity to be up front, to talk to the assembly, to encourage the assembly, to teach the assembly. Many of the guys were working on trying to develop them into that position so that, you know, they can move to the fore and carry this thing forward if the Lord should tarry. But all of you matter. All of you matter greatly. I've really tried in my teaching in this assembly to help you guys understand the tremendous value that you have to the Lord, which means you have tremendous value to me. and just how important every one of you are. And I hope that comes through. Because sometimes the guy up front, being me, Luke, or one of the other guys that come up with some regularity and preach, Jared, Mike, I mean, Josh, we got lots of guys that are adept at teaching and preaching. You know, we couldn't do this, and I can tell you particularly from my perspective, and I'll just speak for me, I couldn't do this without your guys' support. I want you to know that. I really couldn't. Couldn't do it. And the Apostle Paul makes it absolutely clear he couldn't do it without the support of the people that he mentions right here in the book of Colossians. And again, there's many more he mentions by name throughout his other letters and are mentioned by others in the letters. So let's just start real quickly by taking a look at some of these. I did, like I said, a message on Tychicus, and he's mentioned first, as to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant, fellow bond servant to the Lord, will bring you information. And you know who he sent along with him was a guy by the name of Onesimus. Tychicus probably gets, out of all the names in this list, the most props, as we say in our language nowadays, our cultural idiom. He probably gets the most recognition out of everybody in this list. He's mentioned like five separate times, I believe, in the New Testament. I'm not going to go through them. I'm going to encourage you to get a concordance, get on a computer, get on your smartphone, you know, look up his name and see how many times he shows up. But here's what you will recognize from Tychicus. When Paul called on Tychicus, when he was sent by Paul, he went. And Paul said, I need to send you somewhere, he went. So Tychicus, when he was sent, he went. The other thing about Tychicus you want to remember is that when you look at the passages about him, Paul entrusted to him a message or a letter. So what do we say? I trust you with this information. Pass it along. Who has the Lord entrusted with the information that he has recorded for us and asked to pass along? Well, just take a look around you, every one of you that's in Christ. He has entrusted this to you to pass this information along. So here was a guy that when he was sent, he went. We got a message, I believe, from the Lord. He said, go make disciples. Amen. So every one of you are critical and valuable to the Lord in getting this done. You are a Tychicus in our modern day. And I'm just trying to make this short and sweet tonight, trying to kind of encapsulate what I think is the thrust of what's being said here. Onesimus is also mentioned with him. Okay? Now Onesimus is, many of us, if we've read our Bibles with any regularity, there's a letter written basically about Onesimus to a guy named Philemon. And that's the name of the book, Philemon. And it's about Onesimus, who was a slave. Now, I don't know what kind of a slave he was, other than I do know this. He liked slavery so much, he wanted his freedom. And he ran. He ran away. Now, here's a guy that did not like being a slave. Now, I can really relate to Onesimus on a personal level. I don't really like being a slave. Okay? And I didn't want anybody to put me under their thumb. And that's the truth about me. But Onesimus runs, and you know where he ends up? Well, Luke preached this morning that God has a way of making everything work out for good, for those who are called according to his purpose, right? He ends up in Rome, along with Tychicus and these other guys, helping Paul while he's imprisoned. See, Colossians is one of the letters that is written along with Philippians and Philemon while he's in prison, about 62 AD, round numbers. So this guy was a slave, didn't like being a slave, left his master, boom, right? Runs into Paul, and now he willingly becomes a slave because he recognizes the freedom that's in service to Christ. That is my story. For me, Onesimus really resonates. For me on a personal level. Now many of you maybe have that type of story yourself. Didn't like being a slave by anybody. Didn't want to listen to anybody. Resist authority at all costs. You know, everybody's a liar, even when you're lying. All right, and, you know, didn't want anything to do with it. But you come into contact with the truth. You understand there is a beloved master. So you see, Onesimus exchanged one master for another master, didn't he? And he willingly exchanged. And now he's willing to go back to what? His original master and serve that original master with a completely different outlook. Now that's the gospel encapsulated, brethren. Early in Colossians 3, he says, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, right? So that's exactly what happened with Onesimus. This is what happened to me, personally. Maybe it's happened for many of you. A runaway slave that signs up willingly to be a bondservant of Jesus Christ. That's pretty amazing in and of itself. But these are two guys that were entrusted with a message. And they were going to come back to the congregation and they were going to tell them personally about Paul's circumstances. They were going to tell him. He just said, take this letter, make sure it gets to him. All right? And these guys are entrusted with moving letters back and forth, Tychicus primarily. Just interesting to me. You want to get the information, the letters of God, out to other people? Well, he's entrusted that to each one of us. We are Tychicus's. We are Onesimus's. And by the way, what does Onesimus's name mean? Useful. Read sometime 1 Timothy 2, beginning about verse 20. Go through 21, maybe 22. But it says, if you're a vessel for honor, you're useful to your master. Useful. All of you guys are important. Extremely valuable to the Lord. Important to me. I think I can speak for Luke, say you're important to Luke. We need your help to get this done. Luke can't do it on his own. He can't do it with my help alone. He can't do it with the five or six guys that maybe are most visible to many of you. We need every one of you. We need your support. We need your help. You are super important to this. Very valuable to us. So we got the guys who, if you want to call this, these are the messengers who obeyed. Now let's go on to the next group. That's two of them. We're going to go on to a group of three guys. Okay? And this is going to be Aristarchus, beginning in verse 10. And I got to put my glasses on so I can read again. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, sends you his greetings, and also Barnabas' cousin, Mark. This would also be a guy who was known as John Mark in the scripture. Okay. About whom you received instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him. And that's interesting why that verbiage is in there, and I'll explain to you why I personally believe it's in there. Okay. And also Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are from the circumcision, and they have proved to be an encouragement. Here's the encouragers. So we had the guys that were the messengers that obeyed. We have the encouragers that what? Stayed. They stayed. And they're a great encouragement to Paul. Three guys here. Aristarchus. Aristarchus, you pick him up in the book of Acts about chapter 19. And he's with Paul. And you know what happened to him? Paul preaches, and Aristarchus and another guy take a beating for Paul's preaching. That's what happened to him. Wow, these are faithful guys, right? You know, sometimes I wonder who'll take a beating for my preaching. You know? Guys, you know what? The way this country's moving, unfortunately, I'm not happy to say it, but the way this country's moving, at some point, some of you will probably take a beating for things that Luke and I say, or maybe the other guys that get up front say. But this guy stuck with Paul. From Acts 19, when he gets the beating, he follows Paul down to where he meets with the elders from Ephesus at Miletus, and he goes right back down into Jerusalem with Paul, and goes right to Rome with Paul, and it's pretty obvious from the way that things are recorded about Aristarchus in chapter 27 of Acts, it looks like he's in prison with Paul. Ended up being in prison for following Paul. I might be in prison for following Christ. You might be in prison for following Luke or I, or again, put anybody that's in front of you that you recognize that's up front a lot. You could be in prison along with them. But you know what? You'll be an encouragement because you'll have stayed with the program. You'll have stayed with Christ. You'll have stayed with those who are preaching the gospel. You guys are super important. Super important. John Mark. Okay, that's the guy I said that's always interesting to me. He says, And also Barnabas' cousin Mark, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. Many of you I know, I can look through the audience, are familiar with John Mark or Mark. He started out with Paul and Barnabas. But I don't know if he got homesick or if the persecution that came with preaching the gospel was a little much. But you read in Acts 15, he deserted and headed back home to Jerusalem. And that really upset Paul. It really did. So there came a time when they were going to go again. Barnabas wanted to bring Mark, John Mark. Paul says, nope, I'm not going to have him with me. He deserted us in the work. And Barnabas says, well, I'm taking him. And we're going to do something. So they headed off. Paul heads off with Silas, also known as Silvanus. They both go their separate ways and do the work of the Lord. Remember Barnabas? He was a guy that when everybody was terrified of the guy named Saul that used to put Christians to death, who changed his name to Paul, which means small. Remember who the first guy was that stuck his right hand of fellowship out? Old Barney. How quick, I think Paul forgot that. So Barnabas says, right hand of fellowship back to Mark, John Mark. Paul took off. Right? About 12 years later, we have this letter to the Colossians, and guess who's back in Paul's good standing? John Mark. John Mark's back in good standing. And he's useful to Paul. Useful to him. What does this represent, brethren? Hey, have you been wronged by somebody? I mean, really wronged by somebody? Somebody really let you down? Has somebody really maybe not put the focus on the church where it should be? You know, maybe they've waffled on that, kind of went away from it. Are we supposed to hold that grudge against them? Well, here it says no. At some point, John Mark and Paul got this thing figured out, and they reconciled. That sounds an awful lot like the ministry we've been entrusted with, amen? We've been entrusted with the ministry of reconciliation. They reconcile. Abandon the work. Now, you notice it says here in the language here, it says, about whom you received instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him. Do you suppose there might have been a word or two that circulated about John Mark's previous mistake? That's the guy that left Paul in the lurch. And here's a guy writing, say, if he comes with instructions, receive him. Hey, you know, how many know who, besides Mr. Wilson, John Mark hung around with, who he was the primary person that he traveled with? Jared? Peter. Were you going to say Peter too, William? He traveled with Peter. Birds of a feather stick together. Peter have a little problem with failure? Peter ever kind of fall down a little bit? Yeah, remember the Lord said, yeah, before the cock crows three times, or before the cock crows twice this morning, you know what, you're going to deny me three times. But you want to know what Jesus followed up on that with? I'll never forgive you, I'll never forget it. That isn't what he said. He said, but I'm going to pray for you that when you turn, what was Jesus' picture? He's going to turn back. What a great image for us all to have in our mind, amen? But when you turn, you will strengthen your brethren. And then, of course, we know Paul had to go and confront Peter, right? The book of Galatians makes it clear that Peter stood condemned. But guess what? Paul and Peter got that figured out. I think Paul probably had to be a little harsh with them. They got it figured out, and guess what? We got 1st and 2nd Peter out of the deal. Awesome. Right? So here's John Mark. Receive him. Here's a guy that blew it. Right? Forget it. Let's get this thing right. Let's get you back on track and you'll be useful to the Lord. You'll be useful to me. Guys, we need to remember these kind of lessons. Would you agree? It can happen. People ever let you down in the church? Yeah. People have let me down in the church. Have I let somebody down in the church? I guarantee I have. Okay? All I'm asking for is the same opportunity that, say, Peter and John Mark had. You know, let me get it right. Let's figure it out. I'll let you get it right. Let's get the work back together and let's get it done. Amen? That's a pretty weak amen, brethren. You guys really believe this? Or are you going, oh, I don't know. You know, I don't know. I like being mad at somebody a whole lot better than I like being forgiving. I kind of like being angry with them. You know? I hope not. 2 Timothy 4:11, he says that John Mark was useful and effective to him for service. This is a guy that there was such a division, he didn't even want to work with him. There is the opportunity for people right now that we may not even want to feel like we can ever work with again. Brethren, it may happen again where we can work together. If the proper repentance is done, either on our part, their part, or how about both our parts, if need be. Okay? So it's a great encouragement to anybody who's made bad decisions regarding their prioritizing the work in the kingdom. Maybe they didn't put the kingdom first. Hey, what's important? Let's get it right. And all of us can work on helping somebody getting it right. Amen? Amen. We can. All right. Jesus Justice. This is the only passage in the scripture about a guy named Jesus Justice. Most likely Jesus is given Hebrew name, and they think Justice maybe came as a Latin name, and it just means, I think it has something to do with righteous in the Latin, if I remember right. Justin, what does your name mean? Do you know what the etymology of your name is, the meaning? Just, righteous, and just. That's what it means. It's amazing how I figured that out, huh? But anyway, this is a guy, again, he's mentioned once, but you know what Roger said this morning in his Lord's Supper meditation? You guys remember Roger's Lord's Supper meditation? Do you guys remember? I hope it at least echoed to tonight's assembly. He said, what we do today or what we do in this life will echo into eternity. And here's a perfect example, brethren. Look at these guys named, and it echoes on into eternity. And they're insignificant. Jesus Justice, one mention. He's an encouragement forever written down. And we read about him 2,000 years later, approximately. Your work doesn't matter if you encourage somebody? Oh, let me help you understand, it matters a lot. If you can encourage me, man, thank you. If I can encourage you, I hope to. What we do, as Roger said this morning, is so true scripturally, it will echo through eternity. So we got three encouragers. We got the messengers who obeyed, the encouragers who stayed with Paul, helped him while he was in prison, weren't afraid to follow him all the way to his final destination, which was prison. That was his first prison term. Ultimately, he ended up going back under Nero and put to death. That's those three. Then we have... I should probably leave my... figure out a better way to get my glasses on my face, huh? Then we have Epaphras, who is one of your number. He says, a bond slave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. And he says, I bear him witness that he has a deep concern for you. There are people in this room who have a deep concern for this church. And you know what? They have a deep concern for a whole bunch of churches. They do. This guy, if you go back to chapter 1, flip your Bibles back to chapter 1. Paul's talking about how the gospel has gone into all the world in verse 6. He says, which has come to you, the gospel, just as in all the world also, it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God and truth. Just as you learned it from who? Epaphras. Our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf, and he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. This is a guy who taught him. Now you can go in other locations in the scripture where Epaphras' name is mentioned. You'll see that he also has a concern for Laodicea and Hierapolis, which, you know, I think we read. He has a concern there. But he's also mentioned, and I believe in the book of Philemon. Brethren, this guy brought the message, and then he watched the philosophy of the world creep in, false doctrine creep in, and he's the guy that prayed earnestly. Now that word in Greek is the word we get in the English for agony. He agonized in his prayers for the church. Please, let's get this out. Let's get out the false doctrine. Let's get out the worldly wisdom. Let's get out the worship of angels. You know, all this other stuff he was greatly concerned about. So this is the guy who was the one who prayed. The one who prayed. You got the guys who obeyed. The guys who stayed. And you got a guy who's a model of the one who prayed. These are just six guys mentioned here, brothers and sisters. All of them are key components and cogs in the gospel going out and the support of Paul, and they encouraged him. Notice he calls them faithful, fellow. Faithful and fellow. All of you guys, you're faithful. Faithful bondservants. To me, you're fellow workers. That's the whole goal of what we should be doing when we're teaching you guys from up front. Those of us that have the privilege, and really the pretty awesome, think about the responsibility. That's what we should be doing. Helping you to understand that you are considered faithful. The Lord thinks you're useful. All of you. Every one of you have tremendous value. All of you have gifts. We talked about gifts and talents the other night. All of you have gifts and talents. I don't know what they all are for all of you. But you all have them. And you're all valuable to God. You're valuable to me. And I hope you're valuable to one another. You should be. Now there's one other group that's mentioned here. You got Luke, the physician. And at this time there was a guy named Demas. You know, Luke was the Gentile who ended up writing the Gospel of Luke. John Mark ended up writing the Gospel of Mark. Peter, of course, through the work of Paul, and straightened him out, wrote a couple of letters. So Luke was a physician. You know, we just think of Luke as this great historian, you know. Writing down, and he's a great historian, great chronological historian, chronicler of the history of the early church. But did we forget that it also says he's a doctor? You ever read the list of things that Paul went through in 2 Corinthians? I think Paul was happy he had Luke, the doctor, with him. You know, whipped a few times, stoned. I think Luke actually used some of the things that he understood as a doctor to help Paul out. So not only was he helpful in a physical sense, but he's chronicling everything that's going on. He's a tremendous historian. But there's a guy named Demas who was still with Paul at this time. Unfortunately, brethren, this is the last stage of what can happen, or the last case of some people that can be in the church. Their focus isn't on the church, and it gets revealed ultimately. Demas is one who Paul says in 2 Timothy, he says, only Luke is with me. Luke was another one who stuck to the end, faithful. He says, Demas has deserted me, having loved this present world. So Demas, unfortunately, brethren, there's going to be some among us. I don't like this. Wish I could change it. I can't. But there's going to be some among us. There are going to be Demases. And there are going to be those that strayed. Obey. You obeyed. You stayed. You prayed. If you do those things, you won't stray. You won't stray. All of you guys are super, super, super important. Don't ever forget it. You mean the world to me. And we couldn't get any of this done without you. So Paul had, it looks like, about 100 and some helpers behind him in the New Testament to get the work done. Isn't that interesting? We got 100 and some in this assembly. I really think that's cool, personally. And every one of you matter and are valuable to Him, our great God, and to me. And I appreciate you guys, and I want you to know that. All you mean so much. So, you are, as the Lord's second fiddler, instrumental to getting this job done. Very instrumental. And I appreciate you. Let's stand. Father, I am thankful for all my brothers and sisters in this assembly. They all bring such a great talent, whether it's discovered yet or not, by them individually, Lord. You know that they have tremendous potential and talent and the ability to be a tremendous support to the work that goes on in this congregation. I am just thankful I get this opportunity to communicate to them what they mean to me, as you have helped me to understand how important they are to you and how important they are to you and those that you send forth in trusting the message of Jesus Christ. Not everybody's a mouth. We know that, Lord. But everybody can be that encouragement to those that are laboring. There are those that are fervent about the truth, want it to remain pure. And I'm appreciative of those. I'm appreciative for those that pray fervently for the work that gets done in this congregation. And I am appreciative that so many in this congregation, Father, have taken seriously your great commandment to go make disciples, and they have done so. They've carried the letters in this day and age in their own personal lives into the lives of others, and they've made a difference. Maybe they weren't confident enough yet, Lord, to conduct a study on their own, but they got somebody else involved because they cared about a soul. There's so many in this congregation that care about people, from young people to old people. And I am appreciative for all of them. And I am appreciative, Father, that I have felt the love and the support that comes from so many in this congregation. And I just pray that we would remember to take away the lessons that we've seen in this closing salutation, so to speak, from Paul to those fellow workers, that even if there's been issues that have sharply divided one from the other, that we would remember the reconciliation that took place between Paul and between John Mark in particular. Please, Lord, let us remember it's about people. As you have forgiven us, forgotten things, help us to forgive others and forget things so that we can get this job done. So appreciative, Father, for your mercy that you've extended to me. Pray that I'll be willing to extend it to others. And remember that it doesn't matter what's been done to me. What matters is what we do for you. Father, I praise you again for all that you give us in Christ, for the hope that lies ahead, our home in heaven, an eternal home, where there will be no more tears, just joy and sweet fellowship for all, including the Lord's second fiddlers. So appreciative. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.